I said. All right. Well, thank you all for coming out and getting to study the Word of God together. Hopefully, we all can be encouraged. Just to warn the front row here, I do have a cold. So, you know, you might want to. So, it's not fun. So, I'm gonna skip out on the small group so they won't all get sick too. So, but, somebody was really mean to me and gave this to me. It wasn't me. I didn't give it to myself, but this is the season. So we are going to jump in and we're doing serving. So these aren't numbered, but it's number 12, serving others, focus lives. So I was going to do 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11 and Philippians 2, 1 through 11. So I was hoping that, it's like I was thinking, this isn't rocket science, what I'm going to be talking about. This is, I'm hoping just to kind of urge you and kind of encourage you along in order to serve others better and more. You guys all have your parents telling you need to serve the family or you need to serve others, but I want to encourage you another better way to think through what does it mean to serve. So we're going to read Philippians 2, 1 through 11. Before I do, I just kind of want to lay out, this is using Jesus as an example here. So I kind of want to lay it out beforehand so that when we read it, I'm hoping that the Word of God has a lot of impact and power so that you guys are convicted just with the Word of God being spoken. But basically it's using Jesus as an example, that we basically need to love others. And we need to love others in order to serve others. It's really hard to serve somebody who you hate. If you hate that person, I remember like hating my brothers and my mom making me serve them as kind of like an object lesson, but it didn't get me anywhere, okay? So we have to learn, it's like we need to really love others in order to serve others. And so that means we have to put away a lot of our selfish ambition and conceit. And hopefully down here, selfish ambition. Selfish, that's always bad. You don't want to be selfish, right? But ambition, what's ambition? It's like what you want to do. So basically your goals in life, if you have like selfish goals, if you put those selfish goals before everybody else, it's going to really inhibit you serving. I hope that's really obvious. Conceit's a kind of another word of saying pride, but it's somebody seeking your own glory. So if you think that you're greater than somebody else, that's kind of a conceit. So if somebody flatters you, which flattery is basically a lie. So if somebody lies and says how great you are, you're going to become very conceited really quickly, right? So that's why, people keep saying that you're great, you're going to eventually start thinking that. So you want to, really deflect that when you start being flattered, and watch that. So when you love others and aren't conceited, you can then be humble and serve others. And of course, if you hate people, you're not going to serve others. So I'm going to read Philippians 2, 1 through 11. You guys can read along with me. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. So he's just talking about a unity there with Paul, who's writing this. In verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. So hence, serve others. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So these are great examples, great verses here, because Jesus is our example in this. I can use just talking about Jesus' example and doing like a compare and contrast to like really famous people. You guys are still familiar with Michael Jordan? That's the 90s. I think that's still popular. He's the shoe, high top shoe guy now. I don't know. But Caleb Williams just made a Knicks throw that looked just like him. But anyways, he's the Bears quarterback. So for those who are Bears fans. But there's Michael Jordan, wonderful basketball player for the NBA. He had like 5 MVP titles, which is amazing. I think that's a record. I don't know. Maybe there's others, but he had 5. And he won 6 championships, and he was MVP of the finals in all 6 of those. He was Rookie of the Year. He was Defensive Player of the Year, too. just an amazing guy. Amazing basketball player, I should say. So he was MVP. He was the best, especially when he was playing in the 90s. He was the best. It was like there's no others. He was the best. And so you can kind of compare that with Jesus. Jesus came. He's the best, right? He came. He's God. You can't get any better than God, right? So they're both the best. But I don't know if you ever, who's seen interviews of Michael Jordan talking about playing? He's not the most humble man. It's pretty brutal. He talks about how he hates his opponents, and the more he hates them, the more better he can play to defeat them and destroy them. He talks about when he's beating them, he beats them worse. He talks about how great he is, and he's the best, and anybody that doesn't respect him is disrespectful. If you say anything negative about him, he takes that personally. So here's the guy that's the best basketball player in the 90s that he's still conceited. Isn't that crazy? And you're like, he's the best. And it's like, it's unqualified, he's the best. But yet, our human ability to be conceited and prideful is still can get above that even more than that. And then we can contrast that with Jesus, who is the best. What did he do? So give me an example. You guys can shout some things out. Everybody knows Jesus. I'm trying to get you guys to talk.
Loving, humble.
Humbling? Yeah, so in what ways? What actions did he do? That was good.
Washed feet.
Huh?
He washed feet.
Washed feet? He was a servant, right? What else? What else did he do?
He healed the sick.
Healed the sick, yep.
He died on a cross.
That's good too. Don't forget that one. So these are things that here he is, king of the creator of the universe, will be king when he comes again, of course. But yet he comes as what? Was born in a manger, was humble to a carpenter, was raised not in any type of wealth, didn't have the fine things in life, but he humbled himself and came and served us. Okay? So we can see those two examples of two great, what we would say of great people, Michael Jordan and Jesus, but yet you can see one is worthy, but yet became a servant, and then one that still was maybe the best basketball player, but still was managed to be conceited. So we can see the loving service in this particularly. So Adrian talked about Jesus dying on the cross. So That's the gospel in itself. So Jesus came. And what it talks about in Romans, we don't really have much time to dive into that. It would be really fun to. This is also, these are great verses here that we could spend, I don't know, 6 weeks in, but I only got one. So, and we still have 1 Peter to do. So, but we have a loving God that came and suffered and died, and he died for us while we were enemies. So while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. So that's in Romans. And so that's how much he loves us. He suffered and died and was resurrected so that we can have forgiveness of sins and live eternally in heaven. So Jesus made that possible because of his loving service for us. And it's the perfect example of service. Mainly, there's a whole bunch of reasons why it's the perfect example, but I really want to focus on just two. He loved an enemy. Okay, so while we were enemies, he died for us. That shows the depth of his love for us. So, you know, it's hard to serve your enemy. I know we all have Satan as an enemy, but does anybody have an enemy in the flesh, like somebody that lives here? I don't know. I do. Maybe I'm the only one. I'm the only one that has an enemy? You have enemies? Okay. I've had enemies in school, too. This one kid didn't like me just because he didn't like me. I don't know what that was about, but we had to get in a fight. But that was a good memory. I just came to my mind, like, I don't know, 40 years later. So, but we have enemies, but it's what we're called to do is to love our enemies and serve them, right? And it's also, the second one is to the point of death, okay? So it shows that it's costly. So Jesus died for his enemies to the point of death. And so it talks about just the servant attitude. And I'm not talking about we need to serve to the point of death, okay? I'm just talking about Jesus' example for us. So I think if Jesus suffered and died for us to the point of death, if somebody drops something and breaks something, we can kind of clean up that mess to help somebody else out. If you get my gander here. So that is kind of how to serve or what way to serve. But I want to also focus on why we serve, okay? So if we're told to serve, you know, if your parents make you serve, that only goes so far. Being forced to serve isn't necessarily having a servant's heart. You're forced to do that. But since God loved us as enemies, we have love for God for what he did for us. So it's kind of that why. So since God loved us as enemies and perfectly and completely and having a deep love and a costly love, we love God for what he did for us. And because he loved us and others, we love God and others. So it's pretty, you know, we see this a lot in our own world. Like, let's say you guys were driving a car and you got stuck in a snowdrift and I came along and pulled over. And I was like, oh, do you need some help? And you're like, yeah. So we like work hard. We spend like 20 minutes and I get you out of the snowdrift. I'm like, yay. So, but then you're about ready to leave. And then another car, boom, right in the snowdrift. And I was like, hey, let's go get this guy out. And you're like, no, I'm out of here. Dude, we're like, you're a jerk. And it's like, no, we notice this. The world, if I just pulled you out of the snowdrift, and if you... what type of person do you have to be to not be able to pull out that other person? And so I liken that to like Jesus. Jesus pulled you out of the snowdrift. It's much more severe, right? So eternal death in hell for all eternity with that. And if you won't come alongside and serve somebody else and save somebody else, if that's not a why motive for you to encourage you, it's like, hey, Jesus saved me, I'm going to save other people, or I'm going to serve other people. Jesus served me, I'm going to serve other people. So the world even kind of looks at that and was like, whoa, that's kind of a jerk move to not help after you just got helped out of a snowdrift. So I don't know if that makes sense. It makes sense for me. So, I want to jump also to, that's Philippians 2, and I want to jump to 1 Peter 4:10 and read that one, because that's talking a little bit more of just the supernatural gifting that's given to those that believe and have the Holy Spirit in them. We're called by God to serve. And then God gives us the ability to serve, to do that. He gives us the power there. And it actually says it in there, by the strength that God supplies. And it's going to talk about gifts. And gifts are the spiritual gifts. They're supernatural gifts that God gives each believer. And to serve one another and build up the church. And there are speaking gifts, like prophecy and teaching. And then there's serving gifts like mercy and you know, gift of works to help one another out. But God allows that and helps us out in that regard. So let me read that. It's just two verses in 1 Peter 4:10-11. So as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we do that for God's glory there. So God supplies that ability. Sometimes we get hung up on what gift I have or what that is. I would just, my experience is with this, and this is just my opinion on that. If you're loving other people, you're going to find out what your spiritual gift is. So if you're wondering what your spiritual gift is, love other people, and then your spiritual gift will be very obvious. So I wouldn't worry about, oh, what's my spiritual gift? I got to do my spiritual gift. It will be self-evident as you practice loving others. So I wouldn't worry about that particularly, because God gives you that strength in order to love. Now, the key is you have to, of course, have the Holy Spirit in you, which means it's like, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Have you repented and asked forgiveness of sins, and then have given your life over to him and wanting to serve and follow Jesus? So those are key things. But God supplies it, and I just really liken it to how, just back to the gospel. And if you turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, those are really good verses. I really like the whole chapter of 2 Peter chapter 1. But I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. And this is Peter writing to the church, and he's saying that God's power has been granted to us, so that his divine power has been granted to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And then he lays out just that we have this power, and so that we can supplement our faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and godliness, and brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And so these build on these things. But in verse 8 of chapter 1, and he's talking about these qualities that I just rattled off. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I like this verse 9. It's a good reminder for me. Forever lacks these qualities, is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. So having forgotten that he's cleansed from his former sins. So it's just a good reminder for us. Remember that you've been cleansed from your former sins. So I like that the gospel is your engine to love and to serve others. So when you don't want to serve somebody, remember that your former sins are forgiven. Just remind yourself of that. When you see a mess on the floor, remember that the Holy Spirit is in you, right? When your brother or sister punches you in the face or something like that, and yells at you or something like that, remember Jesus was yelled at, right? So, and then go and pick up your sibling's bedroom. Do something nice for them, right? So you're showing your love, the costly love and the depth of the love for them. So I'm just trying to come up with that. But serving your enemies is really cool. And just the last verses, just in closing, turn to Matthew 25. And I hope that, like, as I read these last verses, that they tie together really well for you, just everything and how the gospel is your engine to go and to serve and to love because of what Jesus did for you, and to spur you on. So Matthew 25:35. For I was hungry. This is Jesus telling a story here. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison or visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So just that when you are serving others, when you're dying to your own flesh, when you're serving your enemies, you're actually serving Jesus, and it's like as you're doing it to him. And so that's just another good reminder to think through. How can you actively serve one another and build up the church through that? How can you use your spiritual gifts? Praying towards that end is a great way that God wants you to ask him for things. He doesn't want you to ask for $1 million. He wants you to ask him, like, Lord, help me serve others. Those are the prayer requests that he loves answering. So let's go ahead and we'll pray toward that end. Father, thank you for tonight. We're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for your reminders. And then, most importantly, we're in awe and amazed at your son dying on the cross for our sins. And this is those things that we can't fathom, that you died for us while we were enemies, Lord. Let us remember that always. Remind us. Help us remind each other so that we can serve and spur one another up to good works for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.